your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mother and your father. And hear ye, I am aghast and befuddled. By George, he's done it.
Our dear leader has returned.
We believe that the Parliament of Paradise had been dismantled because we thought our dear leader had no idea what he was doing, and turns out he's brought us back together again for one more jaunt.
One more jaunt, one more stab at the crown. Now, I must say, I'm a little confused because he returned on a steed with his maiden. He came in blazing, and what I found was he kind of made a big kerfuffle, and now everyone hates him even more. So I'm a little confused. Again, we would never question our leaders.
Absolutely never question him.
Judgment
because, again, I am absolutely befuddled by the wondrous reunion that he somehow got a massive production company to reignite. And give it a name. Speak its name. Parliament of Paradise.
Parliament of Paradise. I am a little... It does seem like he maybe talked to his father about some ideas, and then he kind of went off on his own again, because where he's left now is absolutely despised by everyone. No one trusts him, no one likes him. He's obliterated any possible friendships he once had, any possible alliances he once held. Now there is nothing. Everyone hates him. Also, I'm having a little bit of a hard time understanding why his fair maiden would want any part of this at all, being that she has no prior relationship with the people that she is attacking. So what possibly could it be that she wants to be a part of that? The royalty? I'm not sure.
I fear it might be that that our dear, dear leader Sean is in love with the fair maiden Cat, and that our dear maiden Alicia is in love with Sir Dale. And so it is an act of revenge.
If I can't have them, no one has.
But it is an act of revenge where Alicia is now maiden Alicia is now questioning Sir Sean as they sat together alone and ostracized from the community because they came in thinking that they had what they call receipts and something to prove, and it made everyone uncomfortable and everything felt very icky, and now none of us liked it, and they thought that they had a big whopper.
Yes.
It turns out it just made all of us a bit sad.
It was dark, and also I do not understand. Again, never question his leadership. Never question his alliances and brilliance, but I'm having a hard time understanding what the goal was, or the best case scenario. You know what I mean? The best case scenario is that somehow people get mad at them, I guess, is the best case. Because what has actually happened here, to wrap up this, is that they went to, maybe Fair Maiden loves Dale, maybe Dear Leader loves Cat, but maybe they're also angry and a little jealous that is the case. Does that make sense? So maybe Alicia's a little jealous of Cat as well, and then he's a little jealous of Dale. So it's kind of this quad situation that Dale and Cat are not a part of.
I'm not sure.
It's kind of like they're fans, and they don't, and the rock stars don't even know they exist.
Yes, I can acknowledge this indeed. I am now left in a space where I'm not sure where the Parliament of Paradise resides, because it seems like no one has accepted it. So I am saying to you, dear family, bon voyage. Yes. The next time you see us, we will be aboard the Bachelor Nation Vacation at Sea cruise.
We will be joining
all of our fellow Bachelor Nation people at the sea for a cruise line. And I'm sure that even though I did not see his name on the list, Sir Sean will absolutely be trying to get in attendance.
I have absolutely no desire to go on this journey, but I will say, if Sean, our leader, was aboard that vessel, I would be very tempted.
You know what I have to tell you? They're missing an opportunity. If
Captain Sean. I mean,
Sean in to run like a debate, you know, during it for an entertainment purpose, you set up like, oh, bachelor debates.
Diabolical debates with Sean.
Yes. If they don't
crush your enemies and smite everyone.
That's basically what it would be called. How do you destroy the opposition?
Make everyone in the room uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
I could not believe my eyes during this Parliament of Paradise. I can't lie and say I wasn't absolutely tickled to have Sean back on our screens. Alicia, you know, also now passionate. Right. And I don't doubt that they have all the receipts.
Right.
But I am on pins and needles waiting to find out. So family, apologies in advance. We are recording this right after it airs.
Yeah.
So if there have been updates, because there's a chance that once you're watching this, the reunion has aired. So we might, you know, this episode, this recap is going to be us coming straight off of the finale episode and our theories. I am on pins and needles waiting to find out what actually is going on with all of this, because we were left with so many big question marks, and we were also left with a like, okay, was Kat in an actual like proper relationship when she left, or was it one of those things where you go back and forth with the ex?
Sure.
And Sean went in guns a-blazing to the ex's, you know, at a bar and be like, come meet up with me. I have something to discuss with you, my best friend, even though he's actually not best friends with Sean. And he's like, so are you guys still dating? And the guy's like, oh yeah, we've hooked up a couple times, and show me the text. And Sean's like screenshotting them and sending them to himself. And is like, I have the files.
Right.
Like, is that actually what's going on? Because that feels more likely to me.
Well, it's truly obsession levels.
Yeah.
It's got that, like, I'm your best friend. I mean, like, when they cut back to that one clip where he was like, see, wait, you're telling me that we're not better friends than everyone else here? And she's like, what?
It's true.
Like, it really was like the classic, he was living in his own world. We're best friends. And the person's like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool. Like, it's just not even close.
And truly the energy that you're talking about from him, just the fact that you're willing to come back and cause this much of a stir and be like, we're here for revenge. When I'm like, Sean, actually, you're the one who was trying to sabotage other people at the resort.
Exactly.
And then it got flipped on you. And you're talking about needing revenge. Like, I understand that, you know, you think Kat's a better friend than you. But no, the level of obsession feels like
it's
someone's in love with Kat. And then Alicia, now that we know, at least from what the show made us aware, that Kat and Dale are still together.
Right.
What?
That pissed them off.
That shook me. But the fact that then Alicia, if they're still together, is going on podcasts saying, like, if her and Dale would have been there together day one, they probably would be coupled up.
It's giving obsession, right?
It's a little out of pocket. If Kat and Dale are together, to be saying, like, we would have been together, that's a little out of pocket.
Yeah, I wanted to make it a comparison, but I didn't. But it would be, you know, too insane. But yeah, it makes me think of like certain movies. You know what I mean?
Sure. Because they came in swinging, these two. Sean and Alicia came in with a vengeance.
Yes.
And it did, and it fell so flat.
Well, it was like, I have a lot of thoughts. So let's get into that, because I do feel like there's multi layers here.
I have a lot of thoughts about this finale episode in general.
Yes.
And I would like to discuss them with you.
I agree. Can we get into it?
I would love to.
Because I have thoughts.
Let's absolutely get into it. But first, let's take a quick pause. Family, this podcast is sponsored by Nurture Life. So apparently we have 4 successful couples from this show. Maybe one day one will decide to have kids. So listen up. Okay, parents, You know the drill. Life with kids is nonstop. And for me, when Ember was little, mealtime could be a big ordeal. She'd be ready to eat, but not so ready to try certain nutritious foods that I'd want her to eat because they're good for her. That's why I'm obsessed with Nurture Life. It's a meal delivery service that makes fresh, nutritious meals and snacks kids actually want to eat. And we're not talking frozen mystery nuggets here. These are fully cooked, balanced meals ready to serve in just 1 minute, okay? Ember's favorites are the spaghetti and meatballs and their mac and cheese. And I'm not gonna lie, I've definitely taste tested my fair share and it is quite delicious.
So, so good.
Yes.
And what I love most is how easy it is. You just choose from over 50 options on the menu, everything from finger foods for toddlers to full meals for the older kids, and Nurture Life does the cooking for you. Fresh meals delivered to your door in refrigerated packaging every single week. It takes the stress out of planning, cooking, and bargaining with the picky eaters we know and love. And because everything's designed by registered dietitians, you know your kids are actually getting food that's good for them. Plus, it's allergy friendly, which makes life a whole lot easier.
Yeah, I think Ember was 2 when we tried Nurture Life for the first time. And I'm just letting you all know, it was a complete game changer for us. I swear, I practically cried of happiness after we started using Nurture Life, okay? No more scrambling at 5 p.m. No more guilt about whether dinner's healthy enough. And no more wasted food when Ember decides my attempted homemade veggies are yucky, all right? She eats Nurture Life meals happily, which is all I could ask for as a parent. It's also become my go-to recommendation for other parents because it just makes life simpler, and that is priceless. So head to NurtureLife.com/momdad55 and use code momdad55 for 55% off your first order plus free shipping. That is right, 55% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's NurtureLife.com/momdad55 and make sure you use our promo code momdad55. Even if you aren't a parent with young kids, you might have parent friends who struggle with mealtime. Make sure to share our code so our show gets the credit. Remember, put your little ones first with healthy meals from Nurture Life. Okay, so today your father and I are discussing the Bachelor in Paradise finale, the one with the money.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking the finale, and remember to tune in next week, because next week we will be covering this Bachelor in Paradise reunion,
right,
which as far as I am aware of,
yeah,
it's going to be on Bachelor Happy Hour.
Right.
In two parts. I think it drops Wednesday, part one, and then Friday, part two.
Okay.
And then I believe they're going to be available for viewing on YouTube. So we will, I think, be able to visually see it on Saturday.
Okay.
So we will discuss next week reunion.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fallout and tea that comes from it.
Sure.
With Sean being there, like, there's no way it's not going to get heated.
Right.
It's going to get heated.
100%.
And the Susie conversation with Jeremy and Bailey, I think people are going to have, because the audience was very upset that people didn't tell Bailey. I think there's going to be a lot
of... it'll really come down to how real the hosts get.
Wells is hosting it.
Right. So if he goes at him and goes, I'm not letting you off the hook, which he seems like that kind of guy, then I really hope so.
As much as I know you're not a Wells fan, I do feel like in a reunion setting, he's going to get way more tea.
I want him to keep the same energy. When he talks shit to the actual contestants to their faces and like hates them, bring that same energy to the reunion.
We beg of you.
Yes, 100%.
I do think he's going to get way more tea from the contestants than Jesse Palmer would. Also, it's not going to be airing on ABC. It's going to be on YouTube, so they can probably get a little looser. They can probably swear.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they won't edit it quite as much.
Love this.
I like the idea of it potentially being a less polished
reunion.
So we're going to be discussing that, and then also the Love Island reunion.
Yes.
Tune in next week for that, family. But please, let's talk about this finale.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Should we just start from the top?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So from the very top, we have Keith and Kathy, who are letting everybody know that they are self-sacrificing,
right,
you know, not like they had a chance anyways.
Yeah.
God bless them. They were all going to get
fired. I quit. You can't fire me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kathy was giving that energy for
100%.
Sure.
She still wanted to be there. She wanted the money, but she's like, I am now Mother Teresa handing the money out to the saddest child here. And it's like, You knew you couldn't win it, so now you're like using it as power. Like, who will I bestow my blessings upon?
Last week, I lied to Keith, essentially, yes, to get him to skip a camping trip with his children, yeah, to stay here one more week. But now I don't want to get fired, so I'm going to quit. And you all can sit at my feet and tell me which one of you needs the which money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But with that being said, they ask Dale and Kat about it. And Dale, when there's the money request, Dale's like, he ignores the money part. And he's like, well, Kat and I have been really like connected and seeing the future since day
Dale
one.
Dale and Jeremy were both like, that'd be great. You know,
Dale,
like, I'm not willing to, you know.
But also, I think Dale and Jeremy, they do well.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. Well. It's hard to know. But I also just think even if they didn't, they wouldn't grovel for the money. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, the ego's a yes. little, yeah, yeah.
Yes, they wouldn't be like, where, meanwhile, some of the people had zero problem giving them the life story of why they deserve the money. It was immediately like, just, everyone's like, just turned into like,
sure.
Please, may I please? It was just kind of funny how like the personality just shifted right in the moment.
I'd have zero ego in that moment. I'd be like, let me present my case to you. I have a full PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Too bad Parisa wasn't there. She loves a PowerPoint. She would have given
them
a full presentation.
I know.
But Kat talked about her background, and we've heard about it a little bit before, yeah, and I always forget, dude, Kat's gone through it.
Her story's pretty intense.
She's really gone through it, and yeah, she's a smart, strong, powerful woman, and I'm not gonna lie to you, in this moment hearing her, I know that the way that the money shook out didn't end up being what we thought it was gonna be. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. And I know that her and Dale are still apparently together. Hope you both are doing well. Yeah. God, I wanted her to take the money, dude, and run.
But I mean,
my God,
aside from everything, I mean, Kat won me over. I gotta say, like, this was, for my opinion of her, it was a total redemption. Because it's like, she didn't change her personality in regards to, like, she kept the same vibe, but she really did kind of like, she a phoenix from the ashes energy.
And people might disagree with us now, because now this story might be coming forward that she might have kind of had
but
a boyfriend
even
the whole
still,
time.
I'm like, the idea that she didn't have a boyfriend at all and came on the show and possibly talking, the more I think about that concept,
yeah,
the more I have less like judgment for people that come on these shows, even with a situationship, which is
for sure,
which is generally what it seems like. Very few people I feel like come on with like a legit 5-year relationship. What it seems like is a lot of people come on these shows and they're like casually talking to someone, hooked up a couple times, and then the casting call and they
of
go,
course,
oh, okay, cool, I'll go. And then everybody goes, how dare you? And it's like,
of course,
you don't have to be lonely and sad to go on a television show.
And I'm the first person, listen, if there's people like Jed Wyatt, sorry, Jed, to bring you back up years later, but goes on with a full ass girlfriend,
exactly,
and then gets
different,
engaged,
yes,
to somebody and you're like, whoa. But I would imagine, I have no problem with people so long as you communicate to the person that you're dating,
right,
that all of a sudden you're not burning that person on the other end,
right,
who thinks that you guys are more than you are and then you end up on a TV show. But it's like, it's fine.
And then I also don't have a ton of like, you know, the people who then like go on the show and they have a relationship and it's kind of like an inside job and they're like, yeah, go on and, you know, win money or win whatever. And yeah, then they fall in love with someone and it's like, and then the person comes back and goes, actually, I was their person the whole time. Yeah. And then you find out, it's like, well, them going on the show, that's risk. If you know they're going on the show and it's like a combined,
oh, sure,
thing, you're going on the show, you got to be okay with them possibly falling in love with someone, because that is a part of the danger.
You mean like if you two are planning?
If it's like a conspiracy.
Yes. Like
and then your partner and
one person goes on the show.
Exactly.
Hey, Evan, wild take.
Wild take.
That's a wild take.
We can cut it if you like.
No, I love it.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to do a conspiracy thing, when you go on, you got to be okay with someone possibly. I don't even know why this applies to nothing we're talking about. But anyway, just had that thought. I'm a little wired today. Apologies.
I don't agree, but you know what?
You're playing games.
Love a wild take. But my God, I was upset that in this moment when I'm hearing this about Kat,
yeah,
I'm like, God, I wish that she just would have gotten to the finals and it would have been a take, yeah, the money and run situation, because I would have lived,
yeah,
to see that it would have ultimately been that she was an actor this, yeah, entire time. And, yeah, that would have been like kind of iconic. But I hope her and Dale are very happy together. Even though, you know, we'll get into my thoughts,
right,
on the couples. But you know what? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I can have all my thoughts.
Well,
I can think,
yeah,
I can think things don't seem healthy,
mm-hmm,
but I am not in that relationship, and I don't know what has been edited and produced. Sure. And so I say, if you know, if you are happy and healthy, then I celebrate all of you.
Boring. So super boring. Then we have Alex's student debt that comes up, which we didn't know about, which is intense, right? So that was kind of like a whoa. And then they kind of, you know, that became kind of the, her main thing then was kind of just the like blaringness. It's almost like she didn't think about it. You know what I mean? It was almost like either they cut it out a bunch or she didn't really like think about it or want to say it. And then once it was there, then it was like, it was hard, really hard for her not to think about the money. And I totally get that.
Well, as soon as I heard that it was there, I'm like, okay, now I want Alex to win.
Now it's like,
I wanted that relief for her. I'm like, oh my goodness, to have that looming. And I can only imagine how many people like in the audience are feeling that watching it. Like, oh my God, I have all this student debt and like what I would give. Yeah. Whew,
let me just tell you something. I meet you, known you for 2 weeks, 500K. What are you talking about?
Bye.
What are you talking about? I've known you for 2 weeks.
I'm taking the cash.
I'm on this show. I'm hot. Okay? Not a problem. Taking the money. I'm still hot. Working out. It's going to be fine. You know what I mean? It's like, now I'm hot and I got more money. No issue.
We'll work something out just fine. We'll work something out. Well, listen. We then have the moment where Dale goes to Jeremy and is like, hey, my guy, listen, Dale is the king of paradise, goes to Jeremy as in his brain. One, Jeremy's, you know, his second in command a little bit because Brian's gone. He's like, listen, I just wanted to let you know that love you so much, but I'm going to have to vote for Bailey and you to exit because, you know, Jess and Spencer, they're clearly like in love with each other. And so it's going to be a sayonara to you, sir. And Jeremy is like, okay,
All good. Yeah, I totally understand.
All good.
And then in the ITMs, he's like, betrayed me. Screw him. I mean, I will say Jeremy's amazing at keeping his cool. That guy never flinches.
He really does not. I mean, through all
But you even see later when he starts, he's like, I'm not going to cry on camera. And he leans off.
Yeah, he's
very aware, right, of how he presents himself. Yeah. And so for him, he's like, I cannot let them see me sweat.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because even when he had the whole Brian situation, when Brian was revealing to Bailey about Susie, he stayed so calm the whole time.
I don't know why you did that.
When Bailey came in. I felt
like that was a little inappropriate.
When Bailey came in and was like, you called Susie? He didn't even, like, eyes didn't even get bigger. Yeah. He goes, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, talk about BPM must be.
Dude, that heart rate is locked. It's
like absolutely dialed. But he has no physical reaction to it, but he's obviously.
But he's like, you're dead to me. Yes. I mean, it transfers into the like, I will never forget this.
Which, to be fair, I'd be pissed. But he's like, okay, I got a campaign to get Dale and Kat out. And he attempts to, you know, he's like focusing on the Goldens, asking Keith and Kathy. Yeah. Kathy has the moment where she's like, you remind me of my husband. I don't know if it's a late husband or an ex-husband.
Right.
I'm curious about that one, but he's like, yeah, let's take anything we can get right now.
The husband comparisons
he's like,
you
I
need.
Normally don't like to speak to the olds.
Yeah, but if they're serving my purpose, I will talk to those.
There was a moment where in ITMs, he started to say, as he was going over to Keith and Kathy, like, I never thought, and I thought he was about to say, I never thought I'd be asking the Goldens for anything, but he said, I never thought that I'd be in this position. Yeah. But because he's made comments about the Goldens, I was just waiting.
I never
thought
I'd have to talk to you people, but here we are.
Say something rude.
I just have to acknowledge your existence.
But they all end up voting. Again, two women will not be handing out roses tonight. And Alex and Andrew are exempt from the vote. Mm-hmm. So in the rose ceremony, Alex gives Andrew her rose. She says that she loves him, level one. And I say, is this a Game of Roses reference? Because they do love levels. And then they were going love level one, love level two.
Sounds like it.
Chad, Lizzie, you always see little sneak peeks of Game of Roses sneaking into the game. Mm-hmm. And that was a moment where I was like,
someone's aware.
Alex or Alex and Andrew, we'd love to see it. Then Jess gives Spencer her rose. And the final rose ends up going to Kat and Dale. So Jeremy and Bailey and Keith and Kathy are leaving.
Yes.
And, you know, we see, listen, We end up finding out at the very end of the episode that Jeremy and Bailey are still together.
Still rocking.
To this day. And I think throughout these episodes, they were doing a lot of posting where she was like defending him and he was posting her. Got it. And so I don't think anyone had outright, I don't know if anyone outright had come out and said that they're together. I don't know if they're allowed to do that during the show. I don't think so. Maybe they did. Right. I don't know. But it was definitely was hinted at.
Sure.
But confirmation that they are together and that they're like looking to, I think, move in together at some point. And listen, I'm just here to say again, my thoughts are my thoughts. And I send you all my well wishes. You two have been together now for a hot minute.
Yeah.
It seems like you're very much in love. So I have many thoughts, as you all know, that I've said over the past few episodes, but I'll just leave it at, Jeremy, if you hurt Bailey, we're coming for you. Just
coming.
Be aware of the queen that you have.
Right.
Okay? Treat her as such.
Mm. You've been warned.
You've been warned. And I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Love. No, I mean, I agree. I think once people are like on their, you know what I mean, out of the thing, then it's kind of like you just wish them well and you just go, I hope that you guys find happiness and that it works out. You guys both are loving each other and it works out. I mean, like, that's kind of what you know what I mean? Once you're off the screen, good luck.
Absolutely.
That's kind of my viewpoint.
All my best wishes.
Kathy and Keith, I hope you guys stay friends forever.
Yeah, buddies. You know, I think Keith was maybe ready to take a bit of a departure from Kathy. He's a sweet guy.
I can't have more wine. I'm going to lose my mind.
No shade to Kathy, but I think he was drowning in alcohol.
I know. It's just like, I would have a drink. I think Keith was just like, I just got to go. I gotta go.
He's like, I need a break. I've been drinking for 19 days straight.
Kathy's just like, what? No issue. I gotta keep up with this lady.
Okay. So then the next day we have the relationship test that they called Weight of the World. So let's discuss that. But first, let's take another quick pause. Well, we are talking some of these contestants' finances. So let's talk about ours for a second, shall we? I have to admit something a little embarrassing. A few weeks ago, Rocket Money told me I was paying for two apps that I had completely forgotten about. And they both were basically these dress-up apps where you dress up a character and then you like compete with the other outfit to see who's best. You know what? That's not embarrassing.
No, babe.
I fully own it. It's not embarrassing at all. I love it. But the point is, I did not need to be paying for both of these apps, right? That moment was a bit of a wake-up call. It was like when you clean out your pantry and find snacks from 3 years ago. That's exactly what Rocket Money does. It shines a light on all those sneaky little charges hiding in the dark corners of your bank account. And honestly, having that clarity has been huge for me. We thank you, Rocket Money.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Their dashboard gives you a full financial picture that actually is easy to understand. Bill due dates, paydays, even personalized budgets you can set up automatically based on your past spending. And I love that it's proactive. You get alerts if bills go up, if there's unusual activity, or even if you're sticking to your goals. It feels like you got a smart money coach in your pocket without the hassle of doing it all yourself.
And the part I love most, Rocket Money makes me feel in control of our money instead of feeling like our money is controlling us. I've used it to cut down on categories where we overspend. Looking at you, late night takeout. Okay. And it's helped us set aside more for the things we actually care about. Rocket Money's 5 million members have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, with members saving up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's premium features. And I totally get it because I've already seen the difference in our own budget. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/momdad today. That's rocketmoney.com/momdad. rocketmoney.com/momdad. Okay, so now we are left with the final three couples. Yeah. There you go. The right three? Yes, yeah. Final three couples.
Yeah.
And Jesse Palmer lets them know they're going to be having a relationship test. They're preparing for this. Dale and Kat are getting, I was going to say lubed up, I meant sunscreened up. Yeah. Same in their room. And, you know, Dale is like, when it comes to Will, we are the best equipped. And then Kat's like, we're also the most fit, right? Yeah. And they're, you know, they're really doing a lot of...
They're doing the manifest, you know, it's like a sales conference vibe where it's like, we will win, we will sell the most, we are the most dominant, we are the apex predator vibes, you know
you know
what I mean?
How we've talked...
They gas each other up.
You know, we've talked over the years about how people serve, that they... attend MLMs, yes, and they're part of MLMs. Yes. Now that I know that Dale and Kat are actually together, and again, I wish you the best of luck, but in the last episode, we talked about how they were maybe giving a little more of like political marriage, like allies, you know, king and queen energy. I don't necessarily doubt that that's maybe also the case.
Yes.
That maybe they are into each other, but it's also maybe a little more of a...
They respect the game.
Yes.
Equally. So they both like respect each other's strategy and will.
They do not give attendees of an MLM. Those two hardcore give like MLM CEO.
Yes.
I mean, that is MLM CEO and partner. Come on now.
There's a coldness to both of them that is impressive. You know what I'm saying? There's a coldness that I'm just like, whoa, it's like intimidating. You know what I mean? They're both very intimidating.
Well,
they just kind of have this level where it's like you want them to like you, but you're also just like too terrified to try.
I'd want, even if like on screen, I'm not vibing with them. Like even if on screen, I'm like, yeah, I really don't like Dale. Yeah. I will be the first to admit that in person, I'd be like, I want him to like me.
Yeah.
And they're both so attractive.
Right.
And they're like statuesque and they just seem.
Yeah. They're the people you go over to their house and you're like going to bring wine and you're just like, I do not know what bottle of wine to bring. That is terrifying.
They're going
to
judge.
They're
going to
look at it and go, so how was your day? And you're going to be like,
it's like the episode of The Office where Jan's like, it's the bottle from.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, this would be nice to cook with.
Nice cooking wine. Yeah. I'll you and I'd spend $100 on a bottle of wine and they'd be like, oh, nice like, cooking wine. Oh, this is wine. Nice. Thank like vinegar. So
okay, cool. Yeah. I agree.
So they're doing that. They're MLM CEOing each other. And, you know, you could tell he's a little.
He's really into the like, I am very strong. No one can touch me.
He's only a little nervous about Spencer.
Yeah, he's just like, Spencer's actually pretty tough. But other than that, I should be dominant. My back is insane. And at one point, he literally says, my back is so fucking strong.
He said, he also said, I'm strong as fuck numerous times.
That's
then he said,
so bad.
My back is so fucking strong.
Yeah, like, jeez, dude. It sounds like 13-year-old on like the playground. I am so strong.
You have no idea.
I'm stronger than a transformer. I am stronger than 100 buildings put together with 100 million.
All the kids on the playground when you're growing up are like, let's play Transformers. Who are you going to be? And you're like, I'm going to be myself because I am more powerful than any
in the world. So there's that.
So they do this game, and I don't know what the hell this game. I don't know. It sounded like
it is the weirdest game. It's like, what? You guys set this up? Who even thought of this game? Some weird pulley thing you gotta hang on and like that. What game is this?
It's some sort of math equation where it's like, hey,
it's
same
a percentage of your body weight and that
20% and then to 25%, but like your body, it's just gonna be your guy's body weight, but not the other person's body weight. Then you stand on this platform, and then oh my god. If you let go,
you'll fall into a beautiful pool. Not like sludge, not like a pile of shit, not like gross, not even freezing cold water. Just like, you'll fall into a beautifully heated pool that you'd want to be in anyway. No. And like, I love how like they do it. They're like, when they're showing it, they're like, and if you mess up and they go clink and it's like slow motion falling 3 feet into a pool.
Did
it's
you
like,
notice everyone gasped?
Yeah, everyone's like, it's like, dude, what? This is insane. You guys rigged some junior high experiment for these people. And again, not even like related to love at all. Like there's not even like you know, even with Love Island stuff, there's like, there'll be like a windmill and there's a face on, you get to grab it and then you make out with them. It's like, no, this is just like, hold on to this bar as long as you can.
Also, the fact that, like, technically I know that Jesse Palmer said the final test is actually the money, but technically this was the final test. The fact that the final test was about, like, feats of strength.
Yeah. What does this have to do with anything?
Out of nowhere, there's nothing related.
Just the strongest man wins is how they decide who goes home. Literally. What guy is stronger than the other guy with his muscles? And that decides who will stay together and win. It's like, this is insane, dude.
Can you imagine? I know I've said this about every challenge. Can you imagine how poorly I would have done on this?
I mean, me and you would have gotten destroyed. These people are like, these people work out.
I know, but people are like incredibly fit. You're strong and you have some endurance because, you know, hockey, of course.
If they did a hockey
honestly,
challenge,
they could have. It would have made just as much sense as this. It would have been right
there, like, all right, take the hockey puck and shoot it into the ocean. Whoever shoots it farther wins. You're like, huh?
It makes just as much sense as this does. I would have done so poorly. Like, I have no, first of all, I'm not a workout person. Second, I have no upper body strength. And this went on for like 45 minutes.
It was really
minutes.
Long. It was really, I mean, these people are very strong. The fact they lasted that long was very impressive.
I was so impressed. Like, I can't explain to you how impressed I was.
Yeah.
I was pretty shook. I thought it was going to be like, oh, after five minutes, someone was going to fail. Now, Alex and Andrew go in and they're looking at Spencer and Dale and they're like, it's pretty intimidating because they're really, really big guys. But I felt it in my spirit. You said the same thing that I'm like, I know Alex and Andrew are going to win. You know what I mean? They're a little more slight, so there's maybe less weight
also,
to balance
like,
anyways.
I do. This is nerdy, but like the longer your arms are, the harder it is. Like there's more leverage. And so Andrew's like got more of that kind of like strong bodybuilder like body. So like him having shorter arms compared to the other guys, like you can just kind of lock in and go versus the other guys are much taller. So, like, it's much more torque, and so I knew they were going to struggle.
Andrew looked like he literally didn't break a sweat.
Andrew didn't even sweat, and the other guys were like, ugh! Like, he didn't even sweat.
He was smiling, and he kept going like, take a break,
yeah,
babe.
Yeah, we're good. Didn't even sweat.
And shout out to Alex, because talk about pushing through.
Because she was struggling early.
Within the first 3 minutes, I was like, oh, no, my girl Alex is about to crack. She was like, I can't do it, and she was, like, sweating. They won. She pushed through Evan for almost an hour. That's insane.
Yeah.
And she at one point was like, okay, babe, I'm going to stop talking now. And she started like meditating and she's like, I'm seeing butterflies like my grandfather. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. And I have to say where this became a relationship test to me is seeing how loving Alex and Andrew were being with each other during stress. He never once was spinning out. He was so mellow the whole time. And she was so like, sweetie, babe, is it okay if I let go for a second? They were like,
she's very sweet. He was very caring and there.
They were beautiful together in that challenge. And we saw them again.
Dale was like, I'm not the strongest boy.
but they during the camping challenge, you know, I know the therapist was like, you guys are weird and don't have chemistry. But during that camping challenge, they did the same thing. They laughed the whole time.
Unraveled.
I have high hopes for these two.
I have very high hopes for them.
And one other thing that I'll bring up at the very end that made me a little cry at the very end with these two. Okay. I have high hopes for them. But yes, Dale, the fat Evan.
And then afterwards, he was just like, this fucking game. He was like huffing and puffing. And then like they interviewed him later. Like interview lady, it was like him and Kat. And he's just like, I usually never fail at anything athletic.
I legitimately wrote down as soon as the game started, I said, if Dale is the first one out, that's going to be, pure comedy.
He's just like, the machine is broken. That's the only reason why I didn't win. And it was very funny.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Yes. There is a little part of me that wonders.
Rigged.
I just thought if it's rigged because they knew the Parliament of Paradise was coming.
We have to.
They had to line up Kat and Dale to get screwed over. They had Sean and Alicia.
They were there either way.
I know, but Kat and Dale, if they would have won,
couldn't have gone home. Right, true.
So a part of me thinks that they like doubled the weight of Kat and Dale's.
Yeah.
And so then it's messing with Dale's mind even more where he's like,
just listening, he's like, yeah, that makes actually all the sense. Now makes sense.
Dale just became my biggest fan.
Yeah. Dale's like, I agree. This is really my favorite podcast.
She's been talking a lot of shit about me, but now
actually,
I really
love this podcast.
But let Spencer, Dale, and Kat go first.
Yeah.
He's, you know,
he's wrecked. He's
not happy in the pool.
Spencer and Jess are kissing. It's very sweet.
Spencer and Jess don't make it, but they are super cute through the whole thing, too. Yeah. They're very, very sweet through the entire thing, the entire process. And so that means that Andrew and Alex have moved on to being one of the final two, or one of the final people left in this. Okay. Okay, before the parliament shows up, I wanted to mention this quickly. After the test, number one, we have Dale saying that he's feeling very vulnerable for the first time physically, and they have kind of an intimate relationship moment, which for them is typically, you know, it's not super deep,
right?
But he's feeling vulnerable, and I'm happy for them in that way, you know? And then there's Spencer and Jess.
Yeah.
And he decides to tell her that he is so in love with her, and she says it back. He's held on to it for 2 days. You know, he was like, I'm not going to say it. Now he's like, it's been 2 days, so now we're ready. And she says it back. And we find out then that he is looking for rings.
Yeah.
Jesse Palmer shows up with the case. Neil Lane, nowhere to be found.
Interesting.
I'm sure a lot of people are like, where's Neil?
I didn't want to fly him all the way down there just for like a possible one moment ring. I don't know.
He's done it before.
Maybe he's retired.
I hope Neil's okay.
Maybe Neil's son is running it.
Oh no. Now I'm like kind of worried. I hope Neil's doing okay.
Maybe Jeff Neil's running it.
His son, Jeff Neil. Jeff Neil's like, listen, I don't do the flyout gigs.
We don't do that. You got to pay us a lot more money for this.
My dad, Neil.
My dad.
He really cared about the whole customer service thing, and he wanted to be like face of the company.
I want passive income.
I want passive. I, you know, diamonds.
Diamonds. Let's go.
But simultaneously, Spencer is picking out a ring. While Jess is spiraling and is like, I don't know if I love him.
Meanwhile, guy's picking out rings.
Well, she just told him she was in love with him.
Let's also be honest with you. It was like, I love you. And she's like, yeah. To me, it felt panicky. It felt nice. It felt like she was kind of telling herself to not be so hesitant.
So I have a question for you, because I will say it did make me giggle when she was like, I don't know if I'm ready to get engaged yet. We'll see. And I'm like, do you mean that like you're saying within 24 hours this is going to be the determinant that's
right
changing?
In 6 hours, I'll know.
Yes. I have my personal thought about what was going on with that. But you seem to feel like Jess really isn't ready. I feel like the past couple episodes, you're a little bit 100%, like,
at the end of the episode, it said they're still engaged, but taking it slow.
Okay.
Okay. You wouldn't that she put that in there. They said, how are you guys doing? He said, we're still engaged. And then she said, but we're taking it slow. So my thing is this.
Yeah.
Does she like him a lot? Yes. If he wouldn't have been like, I love you, let's get married, would they be like, would she be like totally locked in? I think so. I think his speed, I think he's a relationship guy. He's a guy that fantasizes about having a family, fantasizes about having the two kids, fantasizes about
he was engaged before.
Exactly.
How sad that
was. He's a relationship guy.
Yeah.
She's not. She's a person. You know what I mean? Like, she hits me as someone who will marry the right person when they show up in her life. He's like, I'll probably shave off some things on my list so I can become married.
I'd rather
be married with children to not even the right person. I'm like, this is a huge jump, but I'm just saying, like, if you were to take extremes.
Right.
He wants that vision. It's like the people that are like, I just want to be married.
Well, it's like, I guess what he said, he's like, I'm planning on having children before my partner's 30.
And then there's the people that are like, I don't even think about kids until I'm with the right person.
Right.
And that's an interest to me.
Right.
Jess hits me as that person. So I just think in these terms, he's like thinking about being married and wanting children. And she's just kind of like, I'm just getting to know you and we have an amazing connection. So he rushes through this whole thing and she's like on board, but it's more like, let's just get through this. You can put the ring on my finger energy. And then like, we'll then hit the brakes hardcore the second we leave and just like start dating.
Okay.
That's my energy. It's like, she likes him a lot, but if he keeps pushing at this, like she will, it'll be too much.
Okay.
That's my energy.
Interesting. Okay.
The more he pushes, the more she's not into it. It's like the classic.
You think that's still happening now, months later?
I think it depends all on him. And he's done an amazing job at like, when she addresses this vibe, he doesn't like push.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, I don't know, in their own personal life, if he's still just like, why aren't you moving in? What's going on? That will make things much harder.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my personal take on it.
So you want to hear my take?
I would love to.
Are you sure?
I mean, I don't know if we need your take. We have mine.
Okay, so I do think he's definitely, I agree, I think he's a relationship guy, yeah, and he moves quick. And I think she's maybe more of the, like, mind-based one, yes, like more logical. Like, he moves more with the heart, she moves more with the mind in the
relationship. Or, like, she doesn't have, like, a whole plan for her life.
Sure, but I
just
think,
has the, like, this is what I see.
I just think, yeah, even more in general. Yeah. He seems to move with his heart, and I think she's a little more moves with her head. And I think, though, at the very end, sorry, spoiler, end of the episode, when they get engaged, her immediate response to him, where she's just like,
yeah,
oh my God, yes. And then even in that moment where he's like, I love you, she's like, I love you too. Her, to me, could be wrong, she felt like overwhelming joy. I think the production kind of did a number on us with this one.
Like, she wasn't that into it.
I think she was probably having moments because, no shit, it's a big thing, where production was going, so you don't think it's moving too fast? Or,
right,
are you sure?
Sure.
And then she might go, I guess, yeah, it does make me a little nervous thinking about that. Right. Yeah, yeah. And they go, yeah, well, tell us about
and
that.
And then clip it, yeah.
And I kind of think that they made her seem way more nervous and hesitant because, listen, without it, these two, their only storyline was the fact that from day one, they were obsessed with each other. Not one speed bump. So what else are, you know, there's no drama there. And I feel like maybe the producers had to try to cook up a little bit of drama. So it's like, I guess our drama is maybe Jess isn't going to say yes. Maybe Jess isn't ready to be with him. But I think that the percentage of that was very small.
This is super inside. And well, let's talk more about it in a sec.
Oh my God.
I just have a little bit of a finishing thought.
Okay, a cliffhanger. Yeah. Okay, well, let's take one more pause, and then I would like to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
So, family, let's be real. Parts of this finale were stressful and confusing. I'm looking at you, Parliament of Paradise, and honestly, the entire organization of the game part of this show. So let's talk about calm instead, shall we? Lately, I've been trying to find small ways to bring more calm into my day because, let's be real, life can feel nonstop. Well, I discovered Minnesota Nice. Minnesota Nice is a trusted source for natural plant medicines, especially Amanita muscaria, helping people find calm and healing. In fact, they are the number one supplier of Amanita muscaria in the U.S., trusted by over 30,000 people with affordable, high-quality products. And I love that they're not just selling products, they're focused on education too, with dosing guides and resources that make it easy to learn. It feels less like shopping and more like being supported by people who actually care about your well-being.
Yeah, what's amazing also is how Minnesota Nice got started. It was founded by Christian Rasmussen, who used Amanita muscaria to overcome benzo withdrawal, inspiring the company's mission. And listen, these plants and fungi are not magic bullets. Recovery requires a broader matrix of support, but they are a valuable tool to help with relaxation and healing. They also offer much more than just Amanita. I personally love the Blue Lotus in tea form. They actually refer to it as a centuries-old aphrodisiac. No big deal. And they also have it in gummies too, which is amazing. I noticed I felt calmer and more at peace. They also have reishi for sleep, kava, and much more. Everything is ethically sourced, tested for quality, and they make education a big part of their mission, so you actually know what you're getting and how to use it.
Yes, I love that they offer high quality products at accessible prices. And if you're interested, I would definitely recommend checking out their informational content on their website to see what amount or type would best suit you. Minnesota Nice wants to help you find your calm. Go to www.mnniceethno.com/momanddad and use code MOMANDDAD22 for 22% off your first order. That's www.mnniceethno.com/momanddad, code MOMANDDAD22. Much love.
Yes. So my just kind of final thought is this. Whenever, I don't know what it is, it's like, it's because we've watched so many of these shows. Mm-hmm. And this always happens, especially with the woman who's with the guy who's the nice guy.
Okay.
When maybe in the past she's been with a little bit more edge.
Okay.
Because Spencer is an edge guy. Okay. He's incredibly handsome, ripped, nice, but he's not edge. You know what I mean?
No, he's not edge.
There's not a danger guy going on there.
Okay.
She would kind of consistently refer to him as like the perfect guy.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like you're just the best. And whenever someone's doing that, whenever someone's saying you're perfect, I feel like there's just always a hair of like they're convincing themselves.
Evan.
Just like Jess is telling herself, I know we like a little bit, like a 10% more danger, but you go with it. Trust that that's good for you. I just always smell that on certain people.
Yeah.
And Jess has a little bit of it.
Evan.
Yeah.
I need you to know that right now you're just taking a dump on this beautiful, this beautifully newly engaged relationship. Listen.
Okay. Did you guys tune in for me to go, it's fantastic. Everything's good. Good luck to all the contestants out there. We'll see you on the cruise. Or you want a little bit of a take? That's just my little take. I think they're a beautiful couple. Beautiful couple. I'm talking about the rise. I'm not talking about where they're at now. I think right now they're probably locked and loaded and it's amazing. Uh-huh. I'm like, God, it's amazing. But what I'm saying is just on the ramp up when she was panicking, it was that. Mm-hmm. She was trying to convince herself to get herself to where he was. That's it. Let's move on. Please. I'm done talking. Why'd you make me talk about this? You made me have that opinion.
So next we have the Parliament of Paradise returns. All of the couples.
Everyone comes in.
They show up and they are all going to be voting. And this is when, Evan.
Becomes a pitch session.
Well, beyond that, yes. But this show, I know we talked before about how confusing this game is.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what they're attempting to do with this season.
Okay.
But like, we need to lay the groundwork before of what the rules of the game are.
Yeah, forget the rules. What even is the game?
What is the game?
I don't even know what's happening.
Because we find out now that the people are showing up, which I love, and they get to vote. And they are voting because Alex and Andrew are already secure and they get to come in and vote and they say, all right, either Alex and Andrew are the only ones that stay in and you vote for that. And then they get to go up to potentially get up to $500,000.
Yeah.
Or you can bring in one other couple and then both couples will have the opportunity to get $250,000.
Right.
Listen, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But remember how numerous weeks ago we talked about how it said up to 500,000? Well, here you go. This is what it is.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, we're going to have the money split with the final couples, I guess, but that's not even actually what it is. It's like, what are we? I don't even know how to explain. It was all so confusing. I had to go back and watch Jesse explain what was happening twice. And then I had to ask you, like, are you getting what's happening? Because I don't understand during this portion. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, they have to pretend they're splitting the money with the other couple. Or if they, I guess, like the couple, they could have just literally said Alex and Andrew are the winners. Like, they were going to let everybody decide. I don't know.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Very confusing to me. Did not like that at all. Like,
well, yeah, it was interesting. Even when they came all back, it was like Dale was like, well, this isn't looking good for us because we voted for all these people to get off. So, like, definitely was like Dale and Kat had kind of survived. And then, but there was a lot of people they kind of burned in the process. So it was interesting how like they're being brought back to haunt them in some way. It's like, isn't the whole point that you beat them? Now they can come get you. I don't know.
I love when they bring back the exes.
It almost felt like the whole concept, that whole last minute concept was just because Sean had a bunch of info.
It
and
they're totally
like, we
got
to find
it.
We can't just bring him back for no reason. There has to be a reason. So let's just do this thing.
It totally could have been. And I love when the ex players or the exes come back to haunt, but I just don't like, even though I would have loved for Andrew and Alex to get the full 500K, I didn't like the rule of like, oh, it can just be them. And then there won't even be another couple in the finale. Like, what's going on? And then they're actually splitting the money. I don't know.
It was just random.
It was so bizarre. Well, that's then. But of course, when Sean looks at Alicia and says, are you ready? This is a very prepared speech.
Yeah, agreed.
This is a very prepared speech.
You know, a lot of people. it was very like, I've rehearsed this for the last 48 hours.
You know, a lot of people tell me that I remind them of a politician like my father. And like any politician, it is my my duty to come forward and bring you the truth, like politicians do, with no motive behind it. So I want you all to know that I went back and I did some digging.
As in research called people. I mean, it was
insane. Can you imagine?
It was like obsessed. Like Adele said it best. He's like, I'm sorry, whatever. Like she did to you to hurt you so bad, but this is insane because it really was like crazy levels of obsession.
I mean,
to go through all this. Now it did. So they you know, originally what's going on is that everybody shows up, everybody's pitching to everyone. You know, you hear the stories you've already heard before, going student debt, hard childhood. You're kind of either breaking out the stories for more stuff. So everybody's pitching, kind of like doing this politician's mixer. And then hear ye. He hits his glass. Everyone gather. And then he does the whole pitch about this ex-boyfriend thing.
He says that Kat's plan all along was never to find love. And he said he made a phone call to her ex.
Right. Who's his friend, too?
Well, he said, we didn't, I think, get that on the show, but via the Vial files, that's what Alicia said, I believe, is that it's one of Sean's friends. But again, I would pay so much money to see the storyboard that Sean created to get
everybody's best
to,
friends.
And also just to
just
get
just because you DM
the
someone doesn't mean you're friends. You know, I think that's an issue there. Just because you DM them a lot and they respond doesn't mean you're best friends.
Just because you met Kat's ex-boyfriend when they were dating at one Bachelor event and you guys talked
and you guys
had
got
a
drunk
couple
together?
Yeah,
nope.
But he says that Kat's plan was never to find love, that she was still with her ex, and that she stored a laptop to send love letters. I do find it interesting. I believe on the Vial files that Alicia said iPad. And he
iPad
said
iPad makes more sense than a
but
laptop.
But then he said laptop in this. So I'm a little bit like, okay, I'm seeing some fractures in the story. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
You know, unless he by accident slipped into
the
laptop instead. She didn't deny it.
She's like, we'll talk about this later with Dale. So I'm sure there's some truth to it, possibly.
It says she stored a laptop to send love letters to her ex, and that her goal was basically to come here and, you know, maybe boost the followers and start some drama. And
which sounds right on brand.
And then Sean's like, and I have the receipts.
Right.
And Dale, one of my most favorite parts is that Dale is like, he stands tall and he says, I don't give a fuck what happened on the last BIP. I'll stand by her. And Sean was like, that's this time. This
He's like, still,
Dale,
I stand by her. Dale kind of had a moment where he's like, what?
Dale proceeds to power drink, which is one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite one of his moves. When he doesn't know what
slam
to say,
champagne.
He slams a quick sit back really hard.
It's giving like a movie where it's like, I'm going to go talk to her.
Yes.
And then he, you know.
If he doesn't know what to say or there's a moment of pause, he always power drinks. He hits one sip hard for like emphasis.
Yeah.
So there's still movement and he doesn't appear awkward.
Sure. It's a dominant. It's a win before you go.
It's a dominant move. Yeah, it's a dominant move.
But now I will say that. So what is the, what's the fallout from this?
So the fallout is that essentially that Sean's saying, you know, you all should not be voting Kat and Dale. Yeah. As the winners, because Kat has come here with a boyfriend.
Right.
She's faked everything with Dale.
She's a liar. Yeah.
And what happens is we see Kat, she starts bawling.
Right.
We see her kind of deny it.
And Alicia was brutal. She's like, oh, the waterworks, best actress in the world. I was like, oh my God, these fucking people hate them. Like, it's literally like insane levels of hate for like what is low key like. Nothing really. I mean, it is the levels of hate are like,
I gotta know.
You know what that is? That's when you're sitting,
I know,
and festering
you're
for
stewing.
Days.
You're
you know how
stewing.
It is? You know how you can get out of control with like how you think about something where it's like, oh, I didn't get invited to their birthday party. That's weird. And then you kind of think about it for 3 days and you're like, that's the worst person I've ever met.
Well,
and
fuck
it's like,
them because
it's
I like, never even cared about them.
And then you
them.
Find out later they just thought you were out of town. And then you're like,
and you're like, oh,
it's all good. But you were like, that's fucking hell if I ever see them again. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell they just were festering.
Well, I would say Sean wasn't festering because I think Sean's is always operating on that level. But I think Alicia festered.
Because her like rage was just bizarre.
It just didn't. Unless something happened that we're unaware of, I don't know why she dislikes Kat as much as she does.
Yeah,
again, unless it was because Kat was blocking her way to Dale.
Well, I think it's all that. But I'm just saying the festering was clear. Because they were like incredibly cold, too. They were just like, look at her, the actress. And he's just like, yes, this is the truth. And they're just like, who? And everybody there. So my view of the whole thing was like, they did their thing. It was insane. It was so dramatic. And everyone kind of like, wah-wah. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't go over
everyone
well.
Just felt awkward. Because
it felt like a bully move, first of all. Because you immediately see, you know, cats crying and running away. So whether it's true or not, no one really cares either. So it's like, it's not enough of a damning thing. Like, in my opinion, it's not like, it's like her, she was talking to this guy before she came here. And she possibly had talked to him before. That was early. You had seen that. Dale and her had gotten together for a long time.
Can I say something, though? It is, to Sean and Alicia's credit.
Right.
If Kat did truly come on this show with a full-ass boyfriend, if what she said, because what she ended up communicating is that she's like, hey, listen, yes, I was single before I was dating people before I came on. And my ex and I, like, we would go back and forth when I came on for sure. Because you never know. It's like, is something going to happen in the future? If that's what it is, that makes like perfect sense to me. And I think most people actually are feeling and operating that way. Cause you're like, yeah, I want to find love. And then I go on this TV show and then my ex who I'm still in love with hits me up and we're going back and forth and we're flirting or sexting or whatever it is. It makes perfect sense to me. Every once in a while we'll hook up and maybe I will be with him. Yeah. If she went on with a full ass boyfriend and she was like, we're dating and I'm literally bringing a laptop or iPad on and sending him messages, that is a very damning story in Bachelor Nation.
I agree.
People have done much less.
I agree, but it's all,
and had an explosive
reaction. It's all about
reaction.
Who does what, though. She's going into the show, she's a villain.
Mm-hmm.
She's changed everyone's mind about her, kind of.
Yeah.
So it's all about, like, if this story came out about Jess, massive.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart. Everyone loves her. Perfect record. No stain on her name. Kat comes in, full stain on the name. Everyone's terrified of her.
Yeah.
She actually behaves herself and everybody's like, whoa. Yeah. So when kind of a story pops up, no one's just like, what? Everyone's kind of like, I could totally see her coming on with somebody and kind of coming here for the wrong reasons and then happens to fall in like with Dale.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that was the issue, is that it was not surprising. And I think everyone kind of felt that. No one was like, what?
Yeah.
It wasn't the shocker. It was kind of like everyone kind of goes, we kind of assumed Kat was probably doing something like this. So then everyone kind of just then some people were everyone was like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal. But then it was more than about like people being like, you guys are kind of assholes for doing this the way you did it. And like half the group's kind of like, well, we get it. This is kind of possibly messed up, but this is kind of dark and now she's bawling. Like, I don't know. This wasn't the right, you know what
I
mean?
Well, listen, I will say that I think maybe, and I don't know.
That was successful.
But I'm saying as we're recording this, I have not, because we're doing it right after watching, I have not seen any of Bachelor Nation's response to this.
Yeah.
Sean might not have been doing this for the Parliament of Paradise. He might be doing this as a way to be like, oh, Bachelor Nation is the audience. We'll barbecue Kat for this.
Wow.
And you know what? They might be right now.
Yeah.
Kat might be receiving loads of hate. I know you and I are in a space where we were kind of hoping the whole time that she had this whole thing rigged and that she'd take all the money.
There's something about that.
But I think there's a lot of people who are going to be very upset about it. I really do. So Sean actually
And it also was successful, because all he needed to do was plant enough doubt to where they didn't get to the next round, which is what happened.
And so nobody voted for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what they did was just, because no one even wanted to vote for them really, but there's a possibility they could have won some hearts where like that was the final nail.
Sure.
So it was successful.
It was.
Now I will say Sean truly has painted himself as just,
I mean, just the
true
worst.
Villain.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's just
like, just the true succubus villain. And I got to say, he's like a barnacle. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't generate anything for himself, but his barnacle
just destroys lives.
Just barnacle, you know, he just grabs onto someone and tries to wreck their life, you know. But listen, I will say, he came in, he made a massive impact. Sure. Do you want to be that guy? No. But reality TV kind of gold. Yeah.
And I can't wait to see the reunion.
Yeah. I hope he's on there. Him.
Oh, he it says he's
okay,
on
fantastic.
His name. They're both of them. Alicia and Sean are on the list.
So I can't wait to see kind of the general populace feeling for him, because that's also what I'm super interested in.
It's
like, I get what he's doing with the Kat thing. I'm not super interested in their dynamic, because I know they just hate each other probably. I'm interested in how everyone feels about Sean.
Yeah,
and how he
too.
Kind of feels about everyone, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm also interested in like the general pop, how they feel about
that's
Sean after
I mean.
This. Like, is
are
it gonna
like he's our hero or they hate him? You know, I don't know.
I really don't know. Well, Kat though walks away. She's crying.
Right.
She's not denying it
no.
fully.
Right.
she's like,
and even the next morning she was like, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you about this earlier. So yeah, there's a she's version like, of truth
she's like,
here.
I have an explanation for this. And like I said before, she basically painted it like it's an ex and we talk and right. sometimes we maybe hook up and sometimes, yeah, they're, my heart is right. still there. And I think, here's the thing. Okay.
There's a lot of people that don't show up on the show actually thinking they're going to fall in love.
But also,
probably surprises them.
Also, this is probably a very unpopular opinion. If she came on with a full boyfriend genuinely to sabotage this, as much as I'm saying, like, it would be iconic.
No, that's messed up.
It is messed up.
That's messed up.
If she, because there are people here who are really, like, you know, they're quitting their jobs to be yeah. here and hope to find love yeah. and, you know, do whatever. If it's literally, like, I'm going to screw people over and I'm going to take this money. And I know we're joking about it being iconic. It is messed up.
Yes.
But if it is truly one of those things where it's like, yeah, no,
just, I really like this guy, but it's
I
not
had
enough,
my heartstrings yeah. and we kind of had a back and forth and it wasn't healthy.
But
and
it wasn't strong enough for me not to go on the show.
You know, it was maybe a little toxic yeah. too. And then I met you and I just yeah. felt like, oh my God, I feel safe. And look, yeah. Dale and Kat are still together.
And Dale did a great job. I mean, I got to hand it to him. He did an amazing job with this drama.
He did.
He didn't snap. He didn't like turn on her.
No.
He was like, oh, I'd like to know about what's going on. But he
I think the money was a factor. But,
sure. Either way, he handled it great. He didn't snap on her. He even didn't. I thought he was going to go way gnarlier at Sean, too. And all he just did was like, that's fucked up. And then came back later and was just like, I find what, you know, that like it could have been way more intense.
You know,
and he didn't.
I know.
He kept his cool. He stayed by his girl. She felt supported. I will say that performance at the end was very solid.
He handled it the best way I think he could have.
100%.
And as much as I've shared my thoughts with Dale, we've seen yeah. him have the inappropriate behavior sometimes, but this
we're
was
just talking about these specific moments.
This was handled really well. And
last
you know,
couple episodes, he's done very well with Kat.
Got to give some flowers
yes,
there.
100%.
And I think that he, especially too, when she just was like, I don't want to talk about this on camera. I don't want to talk about this on camera.
Yeah.
He didn't push it too much. Yeah. And then when he went back out to the parliament, and said, Kat yep. is having a hard time. I'm standing here for both of us in this moment.
Yes.
Listen, could it have been monetarily motivated?
100%.
Sure. But at least the way that it was done, at least Kat didn't get screwed over
exactly.
and wasn't like left out in the dust.
I agree. And he didn't like fly off at her and ignore her and give her the cold shoulder. He was like, I'm so sorry you're having to go through that. So I got to hand it to him. He handled it well.
I know. And in fact, the next day, like they were like kind of cozy in yeah. the morning and, you know, again, the conversations aren't very warm, but we did see him in ITMs. You know, they said that Kat was reading letters
yeah.
or sending letters to her ex, but
he had letters too.
Also, if she...
Who would have thought Kat's a letter girl? I mean, I'm honest with you, I did not expect that.
And I don't know, maybe she was sending letters to the ex, but she was sending letters to Dale and he read the letter and it was sweet.
It was very sweet.
They're not this warm, cuddly
no.
situation.
But there's something there.
I do believe, I know we talked about the political marriage. There is something there that I yes. do feel like she maybe feels seen with him and maybe there's a similar energy
yeah.
and maybe how he's handled her in certain situations where he stayed calm,
mm-hmm.
like in a situation like this, she's like, oh, this is a new feeling for
right.
me. And I get why it would make her feel supported.
100%.
Because I would have felt supported in that
yeah.
situation as well. Well, the parliament ends up voting. And the one iconic moment that we do have to mention.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's voting. Jeremy gets up to the camera and he's like, yeah, I'm going to vote that only Alex and Andrew move forward because Spencer, Dale, just returning the favor.
Yeah. So he hates them. They think they're all friends, but he hates them.
Bro,
he will never forgive them.
I
am looking forward to seeing Jeremy maybe on the reunion and talk about how he feels about Spencer and Dale.
I wonder if we're going to get like any info from him
yeah.
or if he'll be too
he's
concerned
too
with kind of
but he,
how
he did
he's
the
appearing.
Thing where he's returning the favor. So,
but he was like in the moment he was upset.
Pissed.
You could tell
Loved
that it was
it.
Like he was trying to keep
yeah.
cool and he always does
he's
keep
pissed.
Cool, but it was bubbling up when he looked directly in that camera. And again, you know, like, I am Jeremy. I'm
right,
not
right.
the fan of Jeremy. That was an
iconic
moment.
It was great TV. Great TV.
Spencer Dale, enjoy.
And your tires are slashed. You know what I mean? It was definitely like I've been your friend this whole time. Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy. Well, the next morning, you know, we see for a moment Justin Spencer. He's bringing up the fact that maybe they're getting engaged. There's
yeah.
literally horror music playing. And she's like, I don't know if I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
In 5 hours, still doesn't know.
Yeah.
Again, I personally think there's a little bit of
okay. editing going on there?
I think so. But then the results are in and Jess and Spencer get to move forward. Dale and Kat are sent home. But apparently, like I mentioned, they said that Dale and Kat are still together. So we shall see during this reunion. We'll they said that Dale is a Kat daddy now times two.
Right.
That made me giggle.
That was very funny.
Okay. So then we get to the final two couples. Yeah. We have Alex and Andrew and we have Spencer and Jess. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets even more bizarre. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the rhyme and reason and order to this show is as a game show. Someone needs to storyboard and figure out a way to make this less confusing. Mm-hmm. Because basically Jesse Palmer has everyone separate. So everyone's solo now. And then they come to him solo and he says, the money is not the prize. It's actually the final test. Right. And you have to choose money or love. So basically, if you choose love, then you go to the VIP, VIP suite. And if your partner chooses love, they'll meet you there and you get to ride off into the sunset together. But you won't likely gather the money.
Right.
So no money. So if you choose love, there's no money.
Right.
Even if you both choose love, right?
Yeah.
Or if you choose the money, but your partner also chooses the money.
No money.
No money. That I get. I like that. I like the double greed thing, then it gets canceled out. It's like we're talking about. It's kind of like a parable. Yeah. I'm like, I like that. But if you just choose the money and your partner chooses love, then you can run away with the money. But the both choosing love, and then I was like, what's going on with this?
And then you both choose love, and then they give you a platter with three random envelopes on it that have money amounts in it. No test on why you grab what envelope.
Just intuition,
just
I guess.
Just a random three envelopes and you just guess.
Yep.
And then you get money. Didn't understand that. It was almost like we didn't expect them to both choose love. So then we got to make up some shit to give them some money because that feels weird that like, they choose love and they lose, right? That doesn't make any sense.
The three envelopes with like roses on the platter. So it was weird. It was just also, it just looked.
It just looked like they just thought about it like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, it was a quick filming decision. I didn't understand.
It was like, it was like, no ideas are bad ideas. You know, it was just like, how about we just simplify things? You know what I mean? Like, and also like, it's hard not to kind of break that third wall or whatever, that fourth wall where it's like, can't you just choose the money and then meet them in 10 minutes after the show's done and then be together with the 250 grand?
Yeah, you like, guys split the money.
What is this
like
you
quietly
have to choose for the performance of it? Like,
I guess nobody but nobody like, wants to be the person who chooses the money because then you're painted as a villain. Everyone's too scared. They don't want to be painted as a villain.
I get it. Okay.
But what I don't understand from the show is that after they choose love and right, they're rewarded with the three envelopes.
Wait, really, when you think about it, the entire thing came down to a guess.
100%.
The entire thing.
100%.
All the games, everything, all the fighting and the this and the that and the logic and the work together.
Three envelopes.
It all came down to just guessing, gambling.
I know.
It's like, huh?
So that's what I'm saying is it's a little bit like you hand them three envelopes with all each envelope has a different amount of money in it up to $250,000. Why couldn't it just have been
$250,000?
That if you both choose love, Jesse walks in and goes, congratulations. You know what it would have been like? If they would have both chosen love and Jesse Palmer would have walked in, they could have put a full Willy Wonka outfit on him.
Yes.
And he walked in and do a full Willy Wonka moment where he goes, guess what?
Your
sacrifice the entire time. This entire hotel is yours.
Yes, exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah, 100% where it's like you chose the thing that was going to give you no
right
money.
Thing.
You chose the right thing. You win anyways because you
and
did
you
it.
And you win.
But instead it was like, and you win half of the money. It was like, what? I was like, what is this?
And what if they would have chosen like the least amount? Who knows?
Who knows if there was even 250 in there?
I don't think so.
Could have just been like 120, 50,
I think the top,
190.
I think the top was 190.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
I completely think so too.
They took out like tax number for tax.
Like,
where they were like,
my managers
well.
And whatever. Yeah.
they took out percentage for manager, agent,
100%.
Entertainment lawyer.
100%.
Like they
there was no 250 in there. So again, it was like, and you win a car, and you're like, what? Like, well, that's it was just weird.
It was
janky,
so bizarre.
But you know what? At least they got some money.
I know. So basically, we have Alex and Andrew. They both choose love, but Andrew's waiting for in the VIP VIP suite. Like, is Alex going to choose love or money? And what I loved about this is that Andrew said to Jesse, like, I want what's going to be best for her. And I know she has yeah. these student debts. And so then when Alex came up, Andrew literally goes, what are you doing?
Yeah. Here? Like, are you crazy?
And he kisses her and he goes, why didn't you take the money? Yeah. And I got emotional.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
This is very sweet. Yeah.
That it was like, hey, I would have been here for you regardless. Like, Andrew was giving me the vibe that like 100% she takes the money and then they walk off and they're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they just do their thing. And they were so cute yeah. and their back and forth were adorable. And I have high hopes for them. And then when we saw at the very end that, you know, the info, the follow up, and yeah. they said that they're still together. Mm-hmm. And it said they decided to use the money to pay for Alex's student debts.
Pretty awesome.
Which means that Andrew gave her either all or a large portion yeah. of his half of the money to pay off her student debts. Emosh. And it's so cool too, because, like, you know, I can't assume to know anyone's financial yeah. business, but from what I'm aware of, Andrew's done pretty well post being on The Bachelor,
yeah.
on Katie Thurston, our Queen of Katie Thurston season of The Bachelorette. Like, he's done well. He probably has good brand deals, and so he probably does well financially. Yeah. Again, I don't know 100%, but I would assume. So the fact that he's probably like, yeah, I do okay. I yeah. do well. And Alex, she's not going to get the numbers of followers like back in those older seasons.
Yeah.
So she probably doesn't have nearly the follower count. So she's yeah. not going to get the brand deals. So it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, let her have the money.
100%.
And let her pay off those debts together. Awesome. And it was so sweet. It was very sweet. Cute.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy for them. Like, I think they're a great match. Yeah. I so very much disagree with that therapist. I think they have chemistry.
I think they totally have chemistry.
And I'm really, really happy
but
for them.
But she admitted, she's like, you know, a kiss was like our love, awkward and funny. And whatever, yeah. You know, so it was just they have this, like, unique, cute relationship.
Really sweet together, because Andrew, over the seasons watching him, I feel like she calms him down a little bit. Like, because she's goofy and whatever, it's like they meet each other in a space where they're safe with each other. But then he can kind of be like relaxed.
Agreed.
So totally I thought that agree. Was wonderful. And then, of course, we had Spencer and Jess, who, of course, they both chose love. Yeah. And, by the way, Alex and Andrew got $125,000, yeah. I think, out of the envelope choice.
Yep.
And then Spencer and Jess both choose love. And then when Jesse offers them the envelope, they open it up. Now, it's at $190,000. Now, your girl with the keratoconus, with the double vig, I looked at the screen, double vis was double visioning, and I saw $19 million. And I said, excuse me? So
$19 million. That's insane.
I saw $19 million.
$19 million. They're like, we forgot to tell you. Sean's dad made a donation.
And so all I can think about is, if I was in Jess's shoes and I opened that envelope and with my double vision keratoconus eyes,
million.
I saw 19 million.
And then
million.
You find out it's just 190, you're devastated.
And 190,000 is life changing. That's crazy money. Like,
but 19
never
million.
But 19 yeah, million is like, well, this is now like everyone that I've ever met is going to get taken
that
care of.
That would have been so funny. She's like, oh my God, 19 million dollars.
She's on the floor just like,
that's insane.
Just like retching, crying.
Yeah, I can't believe that. He's like, what? Wow.
So then, of course, Spencer ends up proposing to her. She says yes.
She says yes.
And it's very sweet.
Very sweet.
And from the beginning, these two.
I know. Day one.
They have a special type of relationship. And like, literally they had, minus her, I'm nervous. When you saw them in every single challenge, they had fun. They were never stressed.
No.
They were always just like, oh, it's good. We got it. They're laughing. They're having a great time together. I think they have a beautiful life together.
I think they do too.
And
I really like her. I think she's very cool.
She's very cool. Mm-hmm. She's very like, yeah, she's just a cool, real
she's super
woman.
Cool. Yeah.
And like, let's never forget he's a pet portrait photographer. So
yes.
like, we love
saying.
Him. It makes
be.
It 10 times yes. better. Like,
love. They're very great.
They're very cute.
They're very great.
And we have four success stories. One engagement before couples that are still together coming out of paradise.
Pretty impressive.
Don't know how you all felt about this season, because it was weirdly experimental.
Bizarre,
it
yeah.
was like an art piece that
it was like
some producer
decided
to do. So I don't know how you felt, but paradise always paradises. Yeah. Paradise's success rate is so much higher than
it is.
The other less pressure, and bachelorette.
Less weird competition, just a little bit more straightforward. You could just be with one person, be hanging out generally.
And I know only one couple got engaged, and sometimes we have multiple couples over the years, but I do think there is something to be said about these four couples who have all kind of gone through shit. Yeah. Like, look at this, Kat might have had a guy the entire time, and Jeremy was calling Susie, and they all kind of worked through it. Yeah. I think there's something to be said about having to do stressful games and things together.
Yeah.
And then also like having your own private room, mm-hmm. and spending time together without the camera. I think these people actually like really spent
time
together.
They're on vacation together. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I agree. I completely agree.
So I'm like, I think it works more this
way. I'm excited for the reunion.
Because
I do
feel
like there's quite a few.
The
just like three or four like really good. Like, oh, I want to know what's going on there.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Well, family, again, tune in next week.
Yeesh.
For the Bachelor in Paradise reunion and the Love Island reunion. And then following that, I think the week after we're going to do a cast bio breakdown for the new season of Golden Bachelor. And the week after that, it starts. So very excited.
I'm excited. Love you. Love you.
Can't wait to say a lot about that Golden Bachelor.
It's going to be fine. There's going to be no issues. It's not weird at all.
I'm going to freak out the entire season. Everyone's going to pay.
Everyone's going to pay.
It'll be scorched earth.
Run for your lives. Love y'all.
All right, family. Love you all.
See you in a couple
Bye.
Days. Bye.
Mwah.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.